What do you value most? Freedom or safety? Wild is inspired by surveillance whistleblower Edward Snowden, who revealed that concepts like privacy, sovereignty, and truth are hopelessly outdated. Hello, I'm Fiona Gruber, and I caught up with playwright Mike Bartlett to discuss how our collective reality may just be one big sham. So, what was the starting point, Mike?
When Edward Snowden was in a hotel room in Moscow, and I heard that he was visited by someone from WikiLeaks, and I just thought that's such an absurd, strange position for him to be in, to give up his life, and to feel that it was so important that he wanted to do that. But rather than... For me, I'm less interested in writing documentary plays. I think they can be brilliant, and I think other writers do them fantastically. But I'm always looking for some way of injecting a bit of myself and a bit of imagination to them. And so I got more interested in the sort of existential idea behind it, and ideas of privacy, ideas of reality, of truth, of how you know who people are, and the difference between subjective and objective reality.
Yes, because that's something you play with a lot in this, don't you? Because the mystery woman who visits Andrew in his hotel room and may or may not be with WikiLeaks, she says, you've done something that no one else has done. You've changed the world. And maybe we should take this time to actually say exactly what Edward Snowden did, because this is more or less about Edward Snowden, isn't it?
Yes, exactly, yeah. So Edward Snowden revealed the fact that the US government was essentially spying on people and tracking them to a vast, vast degree, and could see what people were doing. I think what's interesting is most Americans don't know who Edward Snowden is. And the whole play plays with the idea of, do we care about the stuff we should care about, or is it easier just not to care about this stuff?
As it goes along, it seems that the character's idea of truth and the importance of truth is sort of increasingly naive, doesn't it?
Yes, I suppose it is naive. I suppose it's also our idea of truth, is that we, well, certainly as it was even a couple of years ago, we sort of trusted our sources and we trusted the world we lived in. And I think what's been interesting, even since the play's been written, is how the things we trusted, we now don't. And the world has become increasingly horrific and absurd and feeling quite dangerous because of that. And I think what, a bit like Andrew in the play, what I think people are grasping for is some truth again, is some fact, is something to hold on to because the ground seems shifting. And that's what I was getting at writing the play, is what happens when you can't trust anything.
Because that's another thing at the heart of the question with Edward Snowden and WikiLeaks. Do people value freedom over safety?
Yeah, exactly. It has that discussion sort of as the starting point for the play, and that's the discussion you might expect, and one that is appealing as a dramatist, because I don't think people quite know what they think about it yet. I don't think we've come to a consensus, certainly in Britain, and I would imagine Australia's the same thing. I don't think we've come to a consensus yet about how much intrusion we're prepared to allow and how much we're willing to give up our freedom. I think actually we're sort of, most of us are just sort of sleepwalking into a world where we have absolutely no privacy whatsoever, whether that's to governments or corporations. And as long as nothing happens to us, that's fine. But I think the fear that I have, and I think a lot of people do have, is what happens when the wrong people get into government? What happens when a corporation doesn't have checks and balances to not misuse that information? And is there a value in privacy? And I suppose for me, I feel like there is, because you look at history and you imagine if governments out of control had the information that the governments have now, it would be absolutely terrifying.
Are you a man who covers the camera on his laptop and turns off roaming so that no one knows where you are?
I don't know if I should answer that question on a podcast going out to many people. Not quite, no. I'm not sort of paranoid. Although, is that paranoid? I don't know. That's the sort of question of the play, isn't it? There we are. I don't quite go to those lengths, but I'm not on Facebook. I don't tweet. I don't post things, because I feel like if you post something, that company then owns that image, and they own your face, and they own your information and where you've been and your all this information about it. You know, and I think most people have had that experience of getting an advert on their email or whatever, realizing that some company now knows something about them that they have maybe told one person in an email, but because Yahoo reads your emails, because Google reads your emails, they now know something that's very personal to you. And however much the companies talk about controlling your privacy and being aware of those things, the fact that they update those things all the time and you have to constantly be aware of them, I'm not sure most people have the time in the day to be across all their privacy settings in the way that perhaps they would like to be. And of course, it's not in the company's interest for them to be across them because they want to share as much and make as much money as possible. So I'm not paranoid, but I don't spend a massive amount of time on it. But I do think about it a lot. And I think what's interesting for me, which is the more interesting thing, is I don't think governments have caught up with any of the corporations. I think this disruptive capitalism, the whole idea of that is that it runs ahead of the governments and legislation. And actually, if you believe in democracy and you believe in the people's right to have control over those things, that's quite an insult. That, you know what I mean, that companies are going to run roughshod over the laws that you as a democracy have voted in. So I think that feels like the next step for governments and democracies to get back on top of this and decide what they want to allow and what they don't.
But can it be controlled? Because that's another aspect of the play Wild, the sense that the stable doors open and the horse is well and truly bolted and nobody can control it. Because who's in charge? You come to the end of the play, and not giving anything away, and you do think, what's real, what's not real? Who's in charge? Is it one person? Is it like more like a beehive of massive corruption and surveillance?
Yeah, well, that's another one of the metaphors in the play, is the Wild West. And I imagine if you were in the Wild West at the time, you'd go, how could anyone ever control this wild country? These many different factions, these people out of control, lawlessness, how is this ever going to become a country? And of course, it did. And it came about through laws and systems and institutions, and people made sense out of chaos. And I feel like that's sort of where we are with technologies. Every technology that comes along, everyone says it can't be controlled and it's very dangerous. And I think that's only true until we understand it and get on top of it and have systems to deal with it. But ultimately, it shouldn't be the case that companies and rich individuals have more power than the people. And that feels very anti-democratic.
Now, it's a very theatrical play. We would be wrong to talk too much about it because the set design and the staging of it has a surprise value, doesn't it? Did you have that in your mind right at the beginning as a kind of literal and metaphorical kind of play on the state of the world and truth and reality?
Yes, some of the more theatrical ideas emerged as logical answers to the questions and the mysteries within the play. Often that's one of the fun things to do is to have a sense that something's going on in a play, but as a writer, you don't quite know what's going on in the play. You know something is up, but you don't quite know what. And that allows you to write the play with more life and, in a way, more honesty, because it's not that you have a secret that you're withholding from the audience. You genuinely don't know what's going on, and then you explore it as the audience does. And I think that leads to sort of immediacy, which I really enjoy, and a sort of sense, for me anyway, it means you're more likely to write something original and new, perhaps, than if you've sat down and planned it.
Well, thank you so much, Mike Bartlett.
Great, thank you very much.
And Wild is on between the 5th of May and the 9th of June at Southbank Theatre, The Sumner. Book online at mtc.com.au or phone the box office on 03 86 88 0800. This podcast is part of the MTC Talk series. To listen to more episodes from the series, visit mtc.com.au/mtctalks or search for MTC Talks in the iTunes Store or on SoundCloud.